time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show, Minds Over Matter. This week, your host, Dana Rodriguez, is joined by half of the remaining staff of the San Francisco Chronicle, columnist Leah Garchik and music critic Joshua Cosman. Here's your host and moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David. You forgot the people that sweep up at night. But welcome to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely weekend. It's wonderfully foggy out here. It's a nice change from the East Bay. But please give us an hour of your time tonight because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we're welcoming your participation. That's very important. We hope you will settle back and give us an hour and hopefully a couple of questions as well. We'll be taking questions and giving questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So, again, those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. Just to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER. That's mindsovermatter, all strung together in one word, and that is at yahoo.com. Feel free to email us any old time. We don't read them while we're on the air unless the phones go out, and that does happen once in a while, but not tonight, hopefully. So it's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. And also, you can hear our show anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org. That is kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, it should be available reasonably soon after our show tonight, also at kalw.org. So, and iTunes, et cetera, et cetera. So, all that being said, we will start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And Josh has thoughtfully written out, didn't write the word zoo in here, so which is, I can probably read it. So, the retirement of San Francisco Chronicle science writer David Perlman after an astonishing 77-year career has meant that everyone on staff moves up one notch in seniority. Joshua Cosman is proud to be sharing the studio tonight with the new employee number 3. There you go.
And Leah Garchik herself missed Outside Lands this weekend because she was at home in her igloo.
Our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, wishes to state that Minds Over Matter is starting its 24th year this month. We leave it up to you, our listeners, to decide if that's good or bad.
All right.
I don't know. I wouldn't be so cavalier about that. We'll be the judge.
All right, do that. And we have plenty of lines open, so it's a great time to call. Sometimes it does get a little bit crowded toward the end, so give us a call as soon as you can, 415-841-4134, or toll-free, 866-798-8255. And Josh, we'll start with you.
All right. This is I used this question on the show a couple years ago, but Leah wasn't around, and it struck me as that kind of –
any excuse to reuse a question.
Absolutely.
Is that the way it works?
That's sort of true, but also it seemed like the kind of thing that Leah would appreciate.
Okay.
Dr. Seuss's Green Eggs and Ham is, of course, a book written for kids to read. Every word in that book is one syllable long with one exception. What is it?
Oh.
See, look at her face lighting up. You can't see it, and you folks at home, but her
I'm
face
a big
is
Dr. Seuss fan.
Of course, I knew this was your kind of question. That's
but
why
I haven't read. I ask me anything about the 26 Daves. That's my favorite.
Oh yeah. We could do that one too.
I like the 500 Hats of Bartholomew
Cummins. Yeah.
And the Oobleck. And Bartholomew and the Oobleck.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, the thing is, it's so much fun to read. It's like, for all the reasons that we're not supposed to do to poetry, just reading it, sing song, but it is so much fun to read. You just bounce along.
It's a great introduction for reading.
Yeah. Okay, that's beside the point.
Are you going to ask how many words were in it?
I'm going to not, I mean, we're excluding Sam I Am, or we're counting Sam I Am as three, you know.
I think it's Theodora, Dr. Seuss's first name.
Can you tell us how many letters are in the word? Would you, is that give it away?
No, it doesn't give it away, but...
I'm just curious.
A ton. Eight.
In the
eight letters are in the word, okay. Yeah. What do you know that you didn't know before?
Well, it helps me a little bit.
All right, okay. Well, I want to help you.
All right. Huh. Okay, read the question once more.
All right. Every word in Dr. Seuss's book, Green Eggs and Ham, is one syllable long with one exception. What is the one polysyllabic word in Green Eggs and Ham?
Hmm. Okay. All right. And
Benedict.
Leah, why don't you go ahead?
Okay, I'm going to start with some rhyming triplets. If you haven't listened before, those are, I'm going to give you three clues, and the answers to the clues will be rhyming. The answers are one-word answers, and they'll each rhyme. And the first one, I think, is pretty easy. Othello, Donald Trump, and Margot St. James.
They only rhyme if you're from New York.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Othello, Donald Trump, Margot St. James.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, Margot St. James. Well, it's Hooker one?
No. I have it. I'm just waiting.
Okay, go.
It's Moore, Boor, and Hoor.
Oh, very
good. You got
good.
It. Hoor is kind of a New Yorkie. Yeah. You got it. Okay.
Good.
Okay, shall I ask another question?
Yeah, give us
go ahead.
But that was to a good start. Okay, what is the first Native American fruit described by explorers? This was described by DeSoto in 1557.
Huh.
So.
1557, you say.
Mm-hmm.
DeSoto was in the Gulf of Mexico.
He later made cars.
Yes. That sponsored Groucho Marx's show.
Comes up from, like, Louisiana.
The Mississippi. He comes up the Mississippi, I think.
That's right.
But
I don't know what they grow down there.
Would you say it's fairly common? Fruit? Okay.
So breadfruit is right out.
Yeah, that's South Seas.
Yeah.
All right.
But what would surprise him and interest him?
Fruit.
That they don't have...
Well,
I don't know.
Southern fruit. I have to think about it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Would you read it once?
What is the first Native American fruit described by explorers? This was described by DeSoto in 1557.
Okay. All right, and let's take a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? No? Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hi, this is Big Radul in the Carnero.
Hi, Big Radul.
I was listening to the podcast of the show from 2 weeks ago, and Festus was the answer for something, or other. Do you remember that?
I don't know if it was the answer or was brought up as an aside. It strikes a small chord, but
you had mentioned the deputy marshal on Gunsmoke.
Yes,
Festus.
Yes,
but I thought you said it was played by Dennis Weaver.
That was Chester.
Yeah. Well, Festus was Ken Curtis.
Okay. All right. Well, I may well have been wrong, and for that, thank you.
It's hard catching you, so that's why I wanted to bring it.
It's really much easier than you would think, but yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
I wanted to do a little follow up on your question about Blondie and Dagwood.
Oh, right.
The 28 films.
Right.
in all 28 of the films, Baby Dumpling was played by the same actor.
Oh boy. Oh boy. No, I cannot tell you that.
Yeah, and I have, well, Larry Sims. I don't know him from anything else either.
Well, he made 28 movies anyway.
And then, I'll try one more, which probably be equal results. The neighborhood kid, Alvin Fuddle.
No, I
was played by Danny Mummert.
I think the only one I might have known is who played Mr. Dithers. There were a couple of actors who did that, but other than that, I probably couldn't go too much further than Arthur.
Who do you
Lincoln.
Have for J.C. Dithers?
One was Jonathan. Oh, what's his name? Jonathan.
You're there. It's Jonathan Hale played Hale. It in 16 of them.
Right.
But and I know it was if you got through those, I was going to throw a bonus out at you. If you could name the name of the dog that played the dog Daisy.
no relation to Asta, I assume.
It was Spooks.
Yeah. Okay.
One other thing is I have a description. A film critic described this actor, and I'd like you to tell me who it is. He said, this actor's face looks like Clark Gable having been left out in the sun too long.
You have to give me a hint on the actor. I mean, like, name a movie or something else.
Let me think here. The Dirty Dozen.
Lee Marvin? No.
Charles Bronson.
Got it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, very good. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
That's it. That's
all right. Bye bye.
Bye.
All right. Today is August 13th. And I looked up some things that people were born and things that happened on August 13th. So on August 13th, Phoebe Moses was born. And this was in 1860. Phoebe Moses is a name that would not necessarily be that familiar to you, but it wasn't the name she was best known as. She was the subject of two different movie biographies and a Broadway show.
Grandma Moses?
No. Her real name, or not a real name, but the name that she is best known as has nothing to do with Phoebe or Moses, just so you know that. So Phoebe Moses was born on this day in 1860. She was the subject, the main subject, of two movie biographies and a Broadway show. Who is she better known as?
How about she was the unsinkable Molly Brown?
That's a good guess, but no. She was a rough contemporary of that,
yeah.
of that person. So again, Phoebe Moses was the subject of two different movie biographies and a Broadway show.
Hmm.
All right. She was born in 1860 and died in 1926.
Don't know.
Okay, second question. Alfred Hitchcock was also born today. Mm-hmm. What is the only Alfred Hitchcock film, and I'm only using his sound pictures, not his silent ones. What's the only Alfred Hitchcock film with a title in the exclamation point in the title?
Is it I Confess?
No.
Is it Dial M for Murder?
It is not.
No, Dial M for Murder was a talkie.
Well, no, they're only talking pictures I'm using. No sign.
Oh. It has an exclamation point
right.
in the title.
There's only one Hitchcock film that has an exclamation point That's in the title.
Wasn't Notorious.
Nope. It is a one-word title. I will give you that. So again,
is it one of the Sabos?
No.
Okay.
So again, what is the only Alfred Hitchcock film with an exclamation point in the title? And who was Phoebe Moses? She was the subject of two movie biographies and a Broadway show. And Phoebe Moses is not the name she was better known by.
Was she American?
She was American.
Okay.
Yes, very American. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is it Hayward?
I'm sorry, can't hear you.
This is Garrett from Hayward.
Hi, Garrett. Go ahead.
You know, you're talking about Gunsmoke. Here's a little question for you. What connection does Gunsmoke have with the Andy Griffith Show?
What connection does Gunsmoke have? Well, you always do this behind-the-scenes connection stuff. Is it an actor or is it behind-the-scenes?
It's actually two actors.
So, two actors. Gunsmoke. Well, let me think. That were regulars on both shows?
Yes.
Well, not Amanda Blake or Milburn Stone or James Arness.
No, actually, it's the radio version of Gunsmoke.
Oh. Well, how about Parley Bear?
Yes. He played Mayor Roy Stoner. What was the other one?
I don't think I can go any further than that.
You don't know?
No.
Howard McNary played Doc Adams.
Okay. All right.
Here's my other question. You know, the Moody Blues album, Every Good Boy Deserves Favor, what did the initials refer to?
What do the initials? You mean if every good boy deserves favor?
Yeah, what do the initials refer to?
It's music. It's the staff.
The musical, it's the,
yeah,
it's
what
the,
is it? I know, but what's it,
it's
what
the
instrument
the,
does it,
every
yeah,
good,
what instrument does it pertain to?
Well, it's on the piano.
Line,
let's say it's the line, the notes that are on the lines are on the treble. Right.
Yeah, it's on a certain instrument.
Any instrument
any
can
instrument
play the
plays
treble clef.
Scale, right.
You want to give it to him?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a...
What? We lose you? Hello?
It's a 20th of a guitar.
No,
the strings of the guitar are somewhere else.
Anybody
yeah,
studies...
Yeah, because that's what it said in the liner notes of the Moody Blues, of the Everybody, because there's favorite CD.
Anybody who studies music learns to read a staff, and...
Yeah.
You learn that those are the every good boy does fine is what I
yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
And Josh, it's your turn.
Let's see. Well, I've got a twofer here. If you'll forgive me. First of all, so I had a friend a few years ago spent a year studying in Bali, and one of the things he told me about Bali, and this I gather is often true on islands, is that people are very attuned to the compass points. Like if you've got two people who are moving a heavy piece of furniture, where you or I might say, oh, come to me, or move it to the left, they would say, move it to the north, or move it to the west. And he told me that Indonesian has a word meaning so confused you don't know which way north is. And I thought that was really cool. Until I thought about it for a minute, I realized that English has a common word that means so confused you don't know which way east is. So that's the first part of my question.
One word.
One word. It means so confused you don't know which way east is.
Does it have east in it anywhere?
That's all I have to say on that subject. Right. What's the English word that means so confused you don't know which
That's
way east
an
is?
Interesting question.
Thank you. I thought so.
All right.
And here's the go with. What familiar English word is derived, for reasons that are lost to history, from an ancient Greek word that means someone who shows figs? Someone who shows or displays figs. Nobody knows quite why this was thought to...
Son. So confused you don't know where east is. Sunstruck?
No.
Sun. It has to be sun somewhere in there because that's what east is.
That's a good one.
Astounded?
No.
Astonished?
Give the two questions.
All right, so I'm looking for a common English word that means so confused you don't know which way east is. I mean, that's a fanciful meaning, but it's...
Asunder?
No. And I'm looking for a familiar English word that is derived from an ancient Greek word meaning someone who shows figs.
Is someone who shows figs, is that a... Is that an occupation?
It is not an occupation. It's a term of opprobrium. It refers in ancient Greek. It refers to someone who brings spurious lawsuits, and then it comes into English with a different meaning.
Mm-hmm. Lawsuits. What are those called? Slap suits or something?
Uh-huh. But no.
No, it doesn't have any legal
in Greek. It meant that.
In Greek, it meant
so. What's the word fig?
I don't know. All right.
All right.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, yeah, this is David in Oakland.
Hi, Dave.
Okay, so regarding Josh's, this is coincidence because a couple of years ago, whenever it was presented, I was waiting on the phone to try and answer it, and someone beat me to it.
Oh, good.
But the word is anywhere.
That is correct. The multisyllable right. word in Green Eggs and Ham.
Green Eggs and Ham.
Oh, anywhere.
I would not eat them anywhere.
Here or there, I would not eat them anywhere.
All right,
exactly. Yeah, well done.
And then I don't know this for sure, but considering the time frame, Dana, of your question, is it Annie Oakley?
It is Annie Oakley.
Oh,
Phoebe Moses
well
is Annie Oakley.
Done.
Yes.
Oh, I've had
1860 and
Calamity Jane.
Yeah, well, you're on the right track of it. Yeah. So good job on that.
Right. And I have a question for you, but this is a a recycling of a question, actually, Danny, you asked maybe 5 years ago.
Okay. That means I won't remember it then.
Maybe you will, maybe you won't.
Okay.
What's the most common fruit drink in the world?
Fruit drink? Did I ask this?
You
I
asked.
God, and I completely forgot. The most common fruit drink in the world. The fact that you asked the question means it's probably not orange juice or apple juice. And
coconut milk?
That's actually the fact that you asked the question.
You're probably right.
Coconut milk?
No.
That's good, though. But nothing to do with bananas, probably.
How about gin?
No. I will admit, though, there is a trick to the question.
Clearly.
Is this tomato juice?
No.
Because it's fruit and a vegetable?
Fruit drink.
But the answer is along those lines.
Yeah. So it's a vegetable?
It's something that can be considered a vegetable or a fruit?
No, it is a fruit.
Are you
it's coffee. It's coffee.
It is coffee.
Oh, very good.
I remember.
Yes.
I thought he meant Coke, which is made with corn syrup or something.
Right.
There you go. And one more for fans of the show. What is the nicest way to say two-word phrase, to say you are wrong in the English language? What two-word phrase is the nicest way to say you're wrong? And I'll give you the answer immediately. It's good guess, because whenever you say that, the person is wrong, and you guys are about as nice as they come.
Oh, thank you.
Well, that's nice of you.
Thank you.
Not at all.
Take care. Bye-bye. Okay. And Leah.
Okay, but before I go, I'm just thinking, that's such an interesting question about not knowing where East is. And asunder is an interesting answer. Not right, but I wonder where that word comes from.
Asunder?
Yeah, when you say something is cast asunder.
Torn asunder.
Yeah. I don't know what the etymology of that is.
Torn asunder usually means you're tearing from bottom up.
Oh, really?
Like
does
this.
It?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I
thought it meant kind of throwing to the winds.
No, you're tearing up and then out.
Okay, the easiest. This is the easiest backward tune you ever heard.
Okay.
If you guys can't get this.
We're dumbbells.
This is your confidence builder. Okay?
This is never my confidence builder, but go ahead.
One more time.
Okay.
One more
time. Now, that's the...
Wait a minute. Did you tell people exactly what you're doing?
First phrase of a very common song we all know, and I'm just playing it backwards. Okay? The easiest one of all time.
Don't rub it in.
Yeah.
I'll leave it out there.
All right. We will. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is it me?
Yes, it is you.
Okay, cool. I'm so disappointed. I would have gotten Annie Oakley, and I would have gotten anywhere. Thank you. Not knowing where the East is being disoriented, and I have a question.
Oh. Yes, wait, pause that's for cool. your bell, though.
Yes,
congratulations.
Oh, very good.
Well done. That's exactly right.
Oh, lovely.
Disoriented is not knowing which way
very
East
good.
Is.
Excellent.
Yes. So, the first time Hank Williams, the country singer Hank Williams, appeared at the Ryman Theater for the Grand Ole Opry, he sang the same song seven times in a row. Why did he do that, and what was the song?
Huh. You mean in one single evening?
Yes.
In a row, he sang, but not with no break, no other song in between any of them, just the same
song. Well, there
song.
Was clapping in between.
Well, right.
But it's the nothing so... that people really liked it. I mean, it's a more complicated answer than that. Is that true?
No.
They just wanted to encore after encore.
He got six ovations.
All right.
Okay. And so that's why he sang it six times. Right.
Yeah.
And the song was Lovesick Blues.
Oh. I was going to guess you're cheating hard.
I was going to say, hey, good looking, what you got cooking.
No.
All right. Thanks.
All right.
Okay. I'm easy.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thank you. You too. All right. Let me see here. All right, I'll give you two more Hitchcock questions. He made three films in a row starting with the same letter. And he made three films in a row starting with the same word. So I want all those films. So, again, he made three films in a row that started with the same letter. And he made three films in a row that started with the same word. So what are the three films with the same letter and the three films with the same word?
I don't know them in order. That's the or the sequence. I mean, is the same word the?
It is the.
Yeah. So the 39 steps. No, because that would the 39 steps. The man who knew too much and the no.
Trouble
no.
with Harry.
No, it's later. And. So, well, wait a minute. The trouble with Harry, then there's Vertigo and Rear Window. Is it, unless it's around the Paradine case and...
Nope.
No, all right, don't know.
So again, Alfred Hitchcock made three films in a row starting with the same letter, and he made three films in a row that started with the same word. And we've established the word is the, so what are those three films, and what are the three films he made in a row started with the same letter? All right.
It's not T.
It is not, well, no, it is
it's
not
a
two.
Different group of
no.
three.
Yeah. And the two numbers to join us are area code 415-841-4134. Excuse me. Again, area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight from the Chronicle, classical music critic Joshua Cosman. Also from the Chronicle, their columnist Leah Garchik. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you are listening to us on, no surprise here, 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Ed in Massachusetts.
Hi, Ed.
You guys are hard tonight. I heard Green Eggs, the answer was anywhere. I didn't hear the answer, but I heard that someone gave it to the word that meant not knowing which way was east.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? I just didn't hear the answer.
Oh, the answer was disoriented.
Orient. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Let me see. DeSoto's Native American fruit, was that oranges?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. Hitchcock's movie with the exclamation point, Suspicion?
No.
All right, and the three movies together, I'm clueless. So that's all I've got. I'm striking out tonight. But I do have a question for you. Dana, last week you asked for a movie question. So I have some movie poster slogans.
All right.
And I'll give you the slogan, see if you can name the movie it came from.
All right.
I've got 10. I think you might rattle these off quickly. If they're slower, then you can stop me when you want to.
All right.
Number one. Train them, excite them, arm them, then turn them loose on the Nazis.
Turn them loose on the what?
On the Nazis.
Oh.
Gosh, that could be almost anybody. Let's see. Train them. Oh, how about the Dirty Dozen?
The Dirty Dozen.
Okay.
Yep. Number two, they set out to rob a bank and damn near won a war instead.
Rob a bank. How about the Wild Bunch?
No. Same kind of thing.
Set out to rob a bank and damn near won a war instead. Go on to the next one.
Okay, number three. Being the adventures of a young man whose principal interests are rape, ultraviolence,
and Beethoven.
That's
the Clockwork Orange.
Very good.
Clockwork Orange, sorry.
Every man dies, not every man really lives.
Huh.
What, say that once more, if you would.
Every man dies... not every man really lives.
Interesting. Huh. No.
This could be a lot, but I actually remember this one.
Every man dies. All right, next.
His whole life was a million to one shot.
Oh, that I know. I heard.
Yeah.
Oh, Rocky.
Rocky.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
Number six. He's alone, tired, and the only chance anyone has got 40 stories of sheer adventure.
Say it again.
He's alone, tired, and the only chance anyone has got 40 stories of sheer adventure.
Oh, is that one with Bruce Willis?
One with Bruce.
Die Hard.
Die Hard, yep, the first one.
All right.
He is afraid. He is alone. He is 3 million light years away from home.
Oh, that movie with Matt
The Martian?
Damon?
No.
He's not afraid.
Older than that.
Yeah. It's E.T.
E.T.
Oh, very good. Very good.
A man went looking for America and couldn't find it anywhere.
It's not Easy Rider, is it?
Yes, it is. Easy Rider.
Okay.
Oh. These last two, I think, are gimme. It was the Deltas against the rules, and the rules lost.
All right. Animal House.
Animal House. And finally, You'll Believe a Man Can Fly.
Huh.
Don't know.
You'll Believe a Man Can Fly. It's not. Is it a Disney movie?
No.
Okay. No, we don't know.
Oh, I thought you'd get that one. Do you want to leave these two out for people, or you? I'm impressed. You got all the two. Where do you want me to just give them to you?
Well, read the ones that nobody got
the
again,
ones,
if you.
The
would.
Ones you don't have are: they set out to rob a bank and damn near won a war instead.
That's familiar.
And You'll Believe a Man Can Fly.
Okay. All right, leave those out for people, and then we can put you on hold, and you can give the answers.
Will do.
Thank you, Ed.
Thanks.
Robbing a bank isn't... No, there's no war. Bonnie and Clyde.
Mm-mm. No. Yeah. That's they're young. They're young and in love, and they
Thank
rob
you.
Banks.
They rob, yeah. And let's see. Josh, I think it's your turn.
Oh, right. Oh, well, I had another movie queued up. This is about the Library of Congress, which has a national film registry of notable American films mm-hmm. that are worthy of, you know, preservation. There are 700 films on the list at this point. What is the alphabetically first and what are the alphabetically first and last movie? Don't shake your head at me, Dana. Just think about it. Or if you don't think about it, someone else will think about it. I'm going to ask All you right. for the very first film on the list, which includes films whose titles start with numbers. Then I'm going to ask you for the first alphabetical-only title and the last alphabetical title. And there's an asterisk on that last one, which I'll tell you in a minute if you think about it.
So you want the first alphabetically and
the last
alphabetically.
The last one, does that asterisk have to do with Z?
Yeah, well, it's in that it's not – the last one on that list alphabetically is not a title as so much as a description.
I don't know. Zabriskie Point.
No. the first one alphabetically, the first one overall in the list, which includes some titles that start with numbers, and then the first alphabetical only one.
Would you say 10 North Frederick Street, would that start with a 1 or start with a 10?
Yeah, right.
I don't know, but that's not the first one on the list.
101 Dalmatians. Is one.
That's good, but it's not on the list. Or else they alphabetized
right.
it.
Give what you want right. once more, if you could.
The Library of Congress's National Film Registry of 700 notable American films. What's the first one on the list, which includes titles that start with numerals? What's the first one that starts with a letter of the alphabet? And what's the last one alphabetically? And the last one alphabetically needs a little asterisk because it's not actually a title so much as a description.
So the first thing has to be a 1, right? We're thinking aloud here.
Good thinking.
So,
what's the second digit?
1 is the loneliest
it's
number.
11. We're going digit by digit.
Yeah.
So...
If you can think of an amazing, a famous American movie that starts with 11.
11 Oceans.
Go for it.
11 Angry Men.
I'm not confirming that 11 is right. I'm just saying that would be the place.
One and a half.
If there were one, that would be it.
1.5.
All right, think it over.
All right.
And in the meantime, you don't have to repeat that, but repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet.
I'm wondering what familiar English word comes from an ancient Greek word meaning one who shows or demonstrates figs, or displays figs, rather. Hmm. That's all I got.
Okay. Leah.
Okay. What was the first North American fruit? This native fruit described by explorers, by De Soto in 1557. And then this is the first phrase of a very famous song that I know you'll know. Played backwards.
Backwards, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I have three Hitchcock questions. Today being his birthday, August 13th. What is the only Hitchcock film with an exclamation point in the title? It's a one-word title. The only Hitchcock film with an exclamation point in the title. And it's not Vertigo. No, it's not that. And the Hitchcock made three films in a row starting with the same letter. What were they? Made three films in a row starting with the same letter. What are the three films? And he also made three films in a row that started with the same word. We've established that the word is the. What are the three films?
I don't know if this is plausible chronologically, but are the three – is it Suspicion and Sabotage and Saboteur?
It is not.
Okay. Are any of those right?
Yes.
Okay.
Think it over. You're getting closer.
I can't get the chronology close right enough.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Oakland.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. I will guess on the Hitchcock films with the letter. How about Suspicion, Spellbound, and Strangers on a Train?
No.
Good.
It is good, but no.
Let's see. Ooh. With the exclamation point, how about Rope?
That's a good guess, but no.
I thought it was not a good guess, actually.
But, you know, I always say it's a good guess.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Yeah. I thought it'd be funny, though. Rope! But I think it's actually Frenzy.
No, it's not Frenzy.
Oh, shoot. All right. The song. Mm-hmm. I'll take a guess. Is that Beethoven?
No.
Oh. Okay. I thought it sounded like a phrase. And... Boy, no bells. You'll believe a man can fly. That's not from Superman, is it?
Yes, it is. Very good.
It is.
Oh, I thought that. I thought it was so simple. It couldn't be.
No, that's what I thought, too.
Oh,
well done.
Bravo to you.
Yes.
Went for the obvious. Yeah. I own the Native American fruit. Was that a banana?
No. Mm-mm.
Shoot. Okay. And then, let's see. The only question that I have is, who's the first American-born writer to win the Hans Christian Andersen Award? Just for children's
literature.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know how long they've been giving that award.
Since the 50s.
50s, okay.
Maurice
Sendak?
56 Sendak?
Is the first.
That's a good guess. Yeah.
Good guess, but no. First author. I'll put author. They give one for being for writing and one for illustrating.
Okay.
Hmm.
Well, it's not Dr. Seuss.
Margaret Wise Brown?
Nope.
That's Goodnight Moon,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Not Dr. Seuss, not that. Would it give it away to tell us how long ago it was? You know, you said started in the 50s.
Early 70s.
I don't. I'm not familiar with this award. Is it just kid stuff? Like, is it the kind of thing that Judy Blume could win? Or
yeah, definitely children to young adult.
Okay, is it Judy Blume?
No,
it should be.
Is it?
And I think she may have won.
Is it somebody
years.
Like
they
E.B. White?
I believe for a body of work rather than a specific work. Not E.B. White.
Okay.
So this is something that somebody won for a specific work.
You know, frankly, I'm not sure. I think this is for, it's not like the Newbery Award where it's a specific work. I think it's for a body of work.
And it's an American.
It has to be a living author. Yeah. Hmm.
Oh, all right.
Living at the time of the award.
Yeah.
Oh.
In the early
You 70s. Gave us something and you pulled it out. Pulled it away.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know like that.
No.
And
he
wrote a book he won for was for based in California.
Oh.
In the 1800s.
Oh.
Huh. Little Johnny Steinbeck.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Don't know.
Nope.
Oh, it's Scott Odell for Island of the Blue Dolphin.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. Never going to get
fantastic book if you ever read it. All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Great
appreciate
show
it.
As always.
All right. Bye-bye. And Leah, is it your turn?
I think it's yours.
Is it mine?
Yeah.
Is it mine? Okay. All right. I'll give you some author anagrams. I don't think these are going to be too hard for you because you're both pretty good at this sort of thing. So these are three authors, past authors, and none of them are alive anymore. Again, these are author anagrams. Person.
Full name or?
Full name.
Okay.
Full name. One is initials. I'm all sorry, right. but not the first one. Person whom all read. Person whom all read.
Okay.
Once more, person whom all read. Number two, and this is the initials, toilets, which I don't think is too hard.
No, that's...
And number three is greatest idealist born. And this is first, middle, and last name. Greatest idealist born. Again, these are author anagrams. What authors am I talking about? Number one, person whom all read. Number two, toilets. Number three, greatest idealist born.
So toilets is T.S. Eliot.
T.S. Eliot.
Very good.
These are not so easy. These are long.
And I will say that both the ones that nobody's gotten yet are first, middle, and last name.
Oh, they are.
Okay. It's just so you know. And the last is a poet. Okay.
Greatest idealist born is a poet.
That is a poet. That's correct.
I have to think about this.
All right. Think it over. Right. And the numbers to join us are area code 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134, or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question.
Okay.
So when John Lennon decided that he wanted to be a rock and roll star, which happened at a young age, he pulled together a band of his high school buddies, and gradually this band, of course, morphed into the one that we all know about. Now, my question is, can you identify the five different names that his band had? And you may have to spell some of them.
Well, the easy, I'll take the low-hanging fruit, which is that before they were the Beatles, they were the Silver Beatles.
Right.
But without, right, but B-E-E-T, I think.
And that one, how was that one spelled?
I think B-double-E.
Normal. Like the insect, yeah. Yes.
And before that...
Well, that fruit wasn't low-hanging enough for me, so I'm glad you
know. No, me neither.
you know some others? Because
no,
that's the only one I know.
I do not.
Although
there were three others.
Some of these are going to ring a bell when I hear them, but I can't come up with them.
No.
No.
I cannot do it. If you want to leave it out, we can let people guess.
Okay.
All right. Well, let us put you on hold, if you don't mind, and then you can give the answers. All right. Thank you. I appreciate the question. Hold on. In the meantime, Josh, you go ahead.
Oh. What's the only U.S. state capital with a one-syllable name?
Pier.
Yep.
Oh.
All right. Well, you got that pretty quick. I'll follow up and say, what's the only U.S. state capital that doesn't have any letters in common with the name of its state?
Oh, the only... I just have to say that answer, and I know that's correct, but it just knocks the hell out of my device for remembering which is the capital of North and South Dakota, because it's P in the air. goes down.
Oh.
Anyway, okay.
All right. Once more, Josh.
What's the only U.S. state capital that shares no letters in common with the name of its state?
All right. No letters in it. Can you tell us how many letters are in the state capital's name?
Six.
All right. Six. I have to think about that.
Yeah.
Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there, caller? No? Next call.
Hi, this is Ed. How are you?
Hi, Ed.
So the word displaying sex, is it pornography?
The word for, I'm sorry, what?
Displaying sex.
No, displaying figs, the fruit
sex,
figs.
Sex, not six, sex.
Well...
Sex. No? Okay. I have a couple of questions that are really good for you.
All right.
First one, we're going to have the Great American Eclipse 1 week from tomorrow. That's Monday the 21st. Okay?
The eclipse.
The
right.
Make sure you don't look at the sun, even at total eclipse. Total eclipse will happen from Oregon up to southern Virginia, but it will be a partial eclipse all over the country, so you can see, actually.
You're killing my sun-staring party I was planning.
Well, that's
sorry.
Okay. All right, so the question I have for you, you know, the first question is,
yes.
While light takes 8 minutes to come from the sun's surface to our eyes, it takes only 8 minutes. How long does it take the same beam of light to come out from the core of the sun to the surface of the sun? How long do you think it takes?
Less.
Just be guessing.
Less?
Less time.
No.
More time. More time? Because
more time. I have another question to ask you. I'm going to give you the answer. On the average, 70,000 years. Take up to 1 million years. You believe that? Because when the light is emitted by the nuclei, it's actually gamma ray. I go with collision after collision after collision. You know the drunk man theory, where you have a drunk man going in a bar, he keep going, hitting chairs after chairs after chairs, he never makes it to the door.
Oh.
Have you heard of that one?
Mm-hmm.
Really good
mm-hmm.
theory. It's called the drunk man theory. Okay, second question, which also another. Some time ago, talking about this horrible mess with North Korea and Trump and the whole mess, this very wise world leader, he was a leader, he said, we ever have nuclear war, which we might actually, that people who survive the war are going to envy the dead. You hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Survivor will envy the dead. Who was he? I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint. Time is short.
Yes.
It was actually said during the Cuban crisis, which is very similar to what happened now. Don't underestimate the mess we have right now. It is very dangerous.
Charles,
who was it?
Charles de Gaulle.
No.
Castro.
Yeah. No, he was involved. He was involved.
Kennedy.
The other side. Who was it?
Khrushchev.
Yeah.
All right.
Nikita Khrushchev.
All right.
Yes, he said that. Nikita Khrushchev. He was actually very wise. Both he and Kennedy did miracles to avoid. We were very close. We were seconds from blowing the whole earth.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very close right now, too. Don't underestimate the craziness of Trump and the craziness of that idiot in North Korea. Both of them are idiots. Really, they are.
All right. you're
and dangerous.
You're preaching
thank
to
you.
The choir.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And let's see. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I have one question.
Okay.
I know the question. It was too long. What is the only Warner Brothers cartoon character to outsell all other Warner Brothers cartoon characters on one product only?
Bugs Bunny?
Well, Bugs Bunny is popular on many products, but this one character is popular on one product only.
Hmm.
It outsells the rest.
Wow.
Is it a food product?
No.
Okay. Is this something that's been going on a long time or fairly recent?
Yeah, it's a long time.
A long time. Okay. So, Daffy Duck, Bugs Bunny, the Roadrunner? Is it the Roadrunner?
No.
Don't know.
And you need the product, too.
Yeah.
For the belt.
Well, I could probably get the product if I can think of who the character is.
You don't find it around the house, the product, and it comes in pairs.
Comes in pairs. Don't find it around the house.
Huh.
What
comes in pairs that you don't find around the house?
Is it any sort of cleaning product?
No.
All right. Can you give us a general idea what kind of product, without telling us the brand name, what sort of kind of product it is?
You may have seen it driving over to the studio.
Hmm.
On the highway.
And it comes in pairs.
Boy.
Not tires? No.
That's close.
Oh.
It's something automotive, though,
automotive.
Huh?
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, windshield wipers?
No.
That's good. Windshield wipers.
A headlight?
No, and the character has an Indian name.
Oh, character has an Indian name.
Huh.
Like a car name? Pontiac or something?
No.
They still make Pontiac?
There is a Roadrunner. There was a Roadrunner kind of car. But no, that's not what he wants. No, I'm sorry, we don't know. Sorry.
The Indian name is Yosemite Sam.
Oh, Yosemite.
Yosemite Sam.
and the product is Mudflaps.
No.
All right. Oh, yeah, really? I have seen that.
Oh,
a little
interesting.
Ago. Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Thank you.
And the
we should have gotten that.
Yeah, state and capital, Nome, Alaska.
No, it's Juneau
is the capital of Alaska.
Oh, it's Juneau? Oh,
yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah, sorry.
Can you tell us, we have 10 minutes left, can you tell us if it's east or west of the Mississippi?
No, because I don't know.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
so
of course you know.
I
don't. It's like somewhere in the middle, and I don't know where the Mississippi is.
Okay. Okay, that's a clue. Is Ohio. What's the capital of Ohio?
St. Paul, Minnesota.
No.
No. Minnesota. Paul, Michigan. What's the capital of Michigan?
Lansing.
I'll give you a hint. It's already come up once tonight on the show.
Oh.
The capital. It's already come up. Pierre, South Dakota?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, you got it.
All right.
You got the first one.
West of the Mississippi.
Is it? All right.
Yes, that is west of the Mississippi.
All right. Fine.
And let's see. Who has a quick question? Anybody?
Oh, I do.
All right.
Okay. Here's a rhyming triplet. So, again, here are three clues, the answers to which will rhyme with each other. Sandwich edition. Foot pain. In the shape of the president.
Okay. Sandwich edition, foot pain, mm-hmm. shape of the president.
Mm-hmm.
Foot pain. Pound.
Foot pain. What's a foot?
Round pound? No.
Mm-mm. Sandwich edition.
Sandwich edition. I don't mm-hmm. know what a sandwich edition is.
Condiment.
Huh.
Condiment and fundament. No, I don't know.
All right. repeat that again.
Okay. Here are three clues and the answers to which will rhyme. Sandwich edition, foot pain, and shape of the president.
Okay. All right. Josh, since may not see you next month, I'll give you one. I have some opera premieres,
right.
And I'll just give you one.
All right.
And so what I'm asking is I give you the place and the year in which a famous opera premiered, and you tell me what the opera is. I guess I'll give you two.
Give me two.
All right. Opera Comique, Paris, 1902. Opera Comique, Paris, 1902. And the other is the Berlin State Opera, 1925. So the Opera Comique Paris, 1902, and the Berlin State Opera, 1925.
So let me preface this by saying I have no firm idea about either one, but I'm going to guess for Berlin, 1925, that would be the Threepenny Opera.
It is not.
All right. And for Paris in 1902, how about Pelléas and Mélisande?
That is correct.
Oh, yeah?
Very good.
Well, I'll have to think about Berlin, 1925. Who's in Berlin in 1925, if not?
Lots of people.
Not in Berlin. Okay.
All right. Leave it out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, I'm going back to the Hitchcock question.
Okay. Go ahead.
My guess for the exclamation point is topaz.
No. Not topaz.
Okay. And what about the three Hitchcock films? Did we determine it's the is the first word?
We did determine that.
There's The Trouble with Harry, The Paradigm Case, and The Birds.
No, those are not in a row, though.
Oh, they're not in a row.
They are
okay.
not.
Okay. And then the movie that has the one about robbing the bank and winning the war
mm-hmm.
would be The Three Kings.
Oh,
yeah.
Is that correct? It is not
good,
correct.
Good guess, though.
It
that's
is a good guess.
Exactly what it's about.
That's not it, though.
Not according to our caller, no.
Okay. thanks anyway.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Mikey and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
Okay, I'm going to go through everything quickly. The Berlin Opera in 1925, is that Alban Berg's Wozzeck?
Yes.
Oh, well done.
Yes.
Favorite opera in the world. I think the caller had mentioned something about a one-and-done character that made it pretty. How about Madison J. Frog?
For what?
For what was the question on that?
It was like a Warner Brothers question about a...
Yeah.
Like,
oh. He was Yosemite Sam, wasn't that what he was doing?
Yeah, and Mudflaps.
Mudflaps.
Okay. Right. The Hitchcock movie that has an exclamation point is Murder.
Murder is correct, yes, 1930.
Okay, we've got the Trouble with Harry, The Man Who Knew Too Much, and The Wrong Man.
That is correct.
Right. That is the three in a row. Library of Congress
yes.
Film Registry, last alphabetically, is it Zelig?
No.
All right. How about the one with the asterisk? How about the Zapruder home movie?
That is exactly right. Zapruder film is the last one on the list.
That's good.
Well done.
And anything else? Yeah, we're done.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there. Is it
me? It is you.
Yeah, I had a couple answers for you.
Okay.
The murder one I knew because I believe the only Hitchcock film that's not available on video or DVD.
Oh, didn't know that. Anyway, I'll give you a bell for that because you know.
Okay. The other one is Sycophant, is one who shows fig.
That is exactly right, a sycophant. Well done.
It's kind of odd because a sycophant is generally somebody who's kind of smarmy, and to show the figs is the ultimate insult.
Exactly.
Really?
Not that I know. I really like the musical ones because it's the only ones that can't be answered by looking at Google.
Yeah.
Is that the Star Spangled Banner?
No, you'll be amused, though, because I'm just looking at the letters.
Star Spangled Banner. Okay. I'll look forward to hearing what it is.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Hayes from San Francisco.
Hi.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
I believe the one about robbing a bank and nearly winning the war is Kelly's Heroes, isn't it?
We have to check with David. David?
Kelly's Heroes.
Is it Kelly's Heroes? Is that the one with about...
He's giving the thumbs up.
You are correct.
Yes. Well
Very
done.
Good.
Yeah. All right, great. And then a real quick question. Out of all the cameos Hitchcock did in his movies, which one... was he actually not there in person?
Lifeboat. Yeah.
There you go. I knew you'd get that one. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. I guess we ought to clean up here. What do we got?
The first films alphabetically on the Library of Congress National Film Registry, you almost got it, Danny. You were just being such a smarty. 12 Angry Men. you were cracking wise with 11, but it's 12 Angry Men.
All right.
If you get rid of the numbers, the first one alphabetically is Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
Oh, my God.
Could have gotten that one.
That's a funny movie.
It is. It's on the National Register. All right. That's all I got.
All right.
Okay. The rhyming triplet, Sandwich Edition, Foot Pain, and Shape of President is Sprout, Gout, and Stout. Okay. And here is the backward song played forward.
Oh, I could have danced all night.
Yes.
Yeah.
And,
not to that, but I could have danced.
And the first Native American fruit described by DeSoto in 1557 was the persimmon.
Of course.
Oh, I wouldn't have gone down to millionaires. All right, good. And let's see. The author, nobody got the anagrams.
No, they were hard.
No, they were too
Ralph,
hard.
Yes, David got
it. Oh, Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Person whom all read Ralph Waldo Emerson. Greatest idealist born, Dante Gabriel Rossetti.
And
the Hitchcock made three films in a row starting with the same letter, Suspicion, Saboteur, and Shadow of a Doubt.
Oh, all right.
So, if we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. My thanks to Joshua Cosman and Leah Garchik from the San Francisco Chronicle. And, of course, David Latulipe and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. We hope you enjoyed yourself, and we hope you will join us next Sunday at 7 p.m. Thank you, everybody. My name is Dana Rodriguez. Bye-bye.
You ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that. If it ain't dry, it's wet. If you ain't got, you get. If it ain't gross, it's net. It's gotta be this or that. If it ain't sis, you can't miss. It's got to be you, brother.